الله أكبر، سبحان الله. الله أكبر، سبحان الله. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، سبحان الله. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, درس القرآن will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق، لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون. فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true. لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, you shall definitely enter in peace the Masjid al-Haram. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Shaving your heads and trimming them. لَا تَخَافُونَ. Without any fear. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had knowledge of that which you are unaware of. فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah Ta'ala has decreed a near victory even before this. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ. It is Allah who has sent His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِالْهُدَى, with guidance. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, and with the true religion. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to make it dominate over all religions. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a witness. This is the final ruku of Suratul Fath. And the final ruku of Suratul Fath consists of three ayat, three verses. And the intention is to discuss the first two of these three verses today, and then inshallah, the final verse in next week's lesson. It was mentioned in the very first couple of lessons that one of the main incidents which a person needs to be aware of in order to understand the themes of this surah is the incident of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And throughout the lessons we have been referencing different parts of this great aspect of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were returning from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah back to Madinatul Munawwara, there was some uneasiness in the hearts of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. It wasn't that they had doubt, but they were not completely satisfied with the result of the events which unfolded. Because prior to leaving, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had informed his companions that I have seen a dream. And in the dream I have seen that we are entering Makkatul Mukarrama very peacefully. We are performing the tawaf very peacefully. We are performing sa'i very peacefully. And thereafter very peacefully we are returning back to Madinatul Munawwara. And it is an usul and a principle that ru'yal anbiya'i wahyun. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that when the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, they see a vision, they see a dream, then this is wahya, this is revelation. So if a prophet sees something in his dream, then this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing him. This is definitely going to happen. So because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had informed the Sahaba that I have seen this dream in which we are performing Umrah. And after embarking on this journey, they were unable to perform Umrah. And now they were returning without performing Umrah. So there was this type of uneasiness in the hearts of the Sahaba that what is happening? And this is why Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also, he actually approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Alasta Nabi Allahi haqqa? Are you not the true Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alasna alal haqqi wa aduwuna alal batil? Is it not that we are on the truth and our enemy is on falsehood? Alaysa qatlana fil jannah wa qatlahum fil nar? Is it not that our martyrs, they go into Jannah, and those who are killed from their side, they go into the fire of Jahannam? So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that I am the Nabi of Allah, I am the Prophet of Allah, and I do not disobey Allah. Meaning whatever decisions I am making during this journey, it's because this is what Allah Ta'ala is commanding me to do. And because I am the Nabi of Allah, and because I only obey Allah and I don't disobey Allah, then Wallahu Nasiri, Allah Ta'ala will definitely assist me. He will not forsake me. So upon this, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when you are the true Prophet of Allah Ta'ala, and when we are on the truth and our enemy is on falsehood, and when our martyrs go to Jannah and those who are killed from their side goes into Jahannam, then why this disgrace? Why is it that we have had to establish such a treaty in which every clause seems to be in their favor? And thereafter Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu further said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that did you not say to us that you saw a dream in which we are performing Umrah and we are performing Tawaf and we are performing Sa'i? So upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that, yes, Umar, I did say this. But did I say that in the dream Allah Ta'ala mentioned to me that we will perform Umrah this very year? So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they had this, you could say, a type of doubt. It wasn't doubting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing something wrong, or because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen a dream, then this reality is not going to take place during the lifetime. But there was some sort of question mark that what is going on? This is number one. And number two, because they returned without performing Umrah, the munafiqeen and the hypocrites, they began to taunt the mu'mineen and the believers. That your Prophet said to us, or your Prophet said to you, that he saw a dream that you are going to perform Umrah, and here you are, you've returned without performing Umrah. So this was a great opportunity for the hypocrites and the disbelievers to create doubts within the hearts and minds of the believers, especially the weak ones. So upon this, keeping both of these two points in mind, the uneasiness in the hearts and minds of the Sahaba and the taunts of the munafiqeen and the kuffar, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ayah says, لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true. Now the word which Allah ta'ala uses here, sadaqa, this is past tense. That it's happened. Allah ta'ala has made the dream come true. But Suratul Fath was revealed when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning to Madinatul Munawwara. They have not yet performed the Umrah. Umrah is going to be performed next year. But Allah ta'ala uses the past tense here. So in Arabic, if you want to bring certainty in the meaning of something, then you use the past tense. For example, in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُهُ. The first verse of Surah An-Nahl, Allah ta'ala says, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. That the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come. فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُ. So do not demand it that it should come sooner. This refers to when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the disbelievers that if you do not accept iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is going to descend. And likewise, Qiyamah is going to come. Qiyamah is going to take place. So upon this, the disbelievers used to say that if Allah Ta'ala is going to send down his adab and punishment, then we are waiting. Tell him to send down the punishment. And you are saying Qiyamah is going to take place. We have been waiting for such a long time. Where is Qiyamah? When is Qiyamah is going to take place? So Allah Ta'ala says, Ata Amrullah. The matter has come. The command of Allah has come. Whereas it hasn't come yet. But by using the past tense, Allah Ta'ala is saying that it is definitely going to happen. Even in English, if somebody requests us to do something and we say it's done, consider it done. You say to me that post this letter, and I say it's done, I've done it. Whereas I haven't done it yet, you haven't even given me the letter. So when I say I've done it, this means that it's definitely going to happen. You don't have to worry now. So Allah Ta'ala here uses the past tense. That لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala has made the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true. In other words, this is definitely going to happen. That a time is going to come when you will go to Makkatul Mukarramah and you will perform Umrah. That entire dream which you saw is going to become a reality. And the word sadaqah in the Arabic language can be used for verbal truth as well as practical truth. So one is that you say in Arabic, sadaqa zaydun, which means that Zayd has spoken the truth. So Zayd has spoken the truth means that he has said something which actually happened in the past. This is verbal truth. And together with verbal truth, you also have practical truth. Like in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. That there are certain men who came true to the covenant they had with Allah Ta'ala. Which means that they made an agreement with Allah, and thereafter practically, they were truthful that whatever agreement they made, they practically showed their truthfulness. So sometimes verbally you show your truthfulness by speaking the truth, and sometimes you show your truthfulness practically, that you say, I will do this, and then you do it practically. So لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will practically show us that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba will go to Makkatul Mukarrama, perform tawaf, perform sa'i, and thereafter return back to Madinatul Munawwara. And لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. For those who study the Arabic language, over here, according to one group of the commentators, it's لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ فِي الرُّؤْيَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true. So regarding his dream, فِي الرُّؤْيَا. And according to a second group of commentators, لِرَسُولِهِ الرُّؤْيَا. That for his Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the dream come true. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. This بِالْحَقِّ, according to one group of commentators, الْحَقِّ will be translated here as precisely, exactly. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that indeed Allah Ta'ala has made the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true, come exactly true. Meaning exactly whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw in that dream, that is what is going to happen. And according to a second group of commentators, the ba in bilhaqqi is for qasam. So in the Arabic language, sometimes you have the letter waw for qasam. This is why those who take a qasam and an oath in Arabic, they say wallahi. So when they say wallahi, the waw here is for qasam. In Surah Teen, you say Wattini and Wazzaytun. Over there, the waw is for qasam. Wattin, by the fig. And Wazzaytun, by the olive. So the waw there is for qasam. Sometimes waw comes in the meaning of and. So in Arabic, the letter waw, it can be translated as and also. And it can also be translated as a letter of qasam. So you will have to know that here, is it in the meaning of and or is it in the meaning of oath? So the letter waw appears for qasam also. The letter ba can also come for qasam. So billahi. And likewise the letter ta also, tallahi. Like in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, tallahi la akidanna asnamakum ba'da an tuwallu budbirin. So over here, the letter ba, according to some commentators, is for qasam. And if we take that opinion, then al-haq, the word al-haq here, will no longer be translated as precisely or exactly. The word al-haq will then mean that it's one of the names of Allah Ta'ala, one of the attributive names of Allah. So bil-haq, by al-haq. And who is al-haq? Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that indeed Allah Ta'ala has made the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come precisely true. or come true bil haqqi by al haqq, meaning by Allah Ta'ala, taking the oath of al haqq. And what is that dream? لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ لَا تَخَافُونَ. The dream is that you will definitely enter al-Masjid al-Haram. Insha'Allahu, if Allah wills, آمِنِينَ, in peace, مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ, shaving your heads and trimming. لَا تَخَافُونَ, without any fear. The reason for mentioning مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ, that shaving your heads and trimming them, the reason behind this is to show that when you will go to Makkatul Mukarramah to perform your Umrah, then this Umrah will reach its completion. Because Umrah only reaches its completion when a person either trims the hair of his head or shaves the hair of his head. There are two options. When a person performs Umrah, then to complete the Umrah and come out of the state of Ihram, you have to either shave or trim the hair of your head. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua that Rahimallahu al-Muhalliqeen, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon those who shave the hair of their heads. Meaning upon the completion of Umrah. So the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْمُقَصِّرِينَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also make dua for those who trim the hair of their head. Because the Sahaba, they had great love for every single one of their brothers. They were not selfish like you and I. It wasn't like Imams made dua for me, so that's sufficient. Forget everyone else. We would become happy that I got the dua and he didn't, he missed out. And we'll taunt him as well, that it's because you made the mistake this way. You should have worked harder. But no, the Sahaba said, make dua for the muqassirin also, those who trim the hair of the head. So the second time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again made the same dua, Rahimallahu al-Muhalliqeen, may Allah Ta'ala shower His mercy upon those who shave the hair of their heads. So again the Sahaba said, وَالْمُقَصِّرِينَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that also those who trim. Then the third time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again made the same dua, رَحِيمَ اللَّهُ الْمُحَلِّقِينَ, may Allah have mercy upon those who shave the hair of their heads. So again the Sahaba said, وَالْمُقَصِّرِينَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So on the fourth occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْمُقَصِّرِينَ, that may Allah also have mercy upon those who trim the hair of their heads. So from this hadith, the ulama have deduced that it is more virtuous to shave the hair of the head when you perform Umrah or Hajj. So upon coming out of Ihram, when you complete your Umrah, then to shave the hair of the head is far more virtuous than trimming the hair of the head. This is why if a person does not have any valid reason, then he should shave the hair of the head. Not suffice on trimming it. Although if a person trims, he will still come out of the state of Ihram. And for this there is rulings that it has to be at least 1 inch. And likewise the other rulings we should learn before going for Umrah and Hajj. So anyway, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason for mentioning مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ is to show that this Umrah of yours, it's not going to be that you'll go halfway and you won't complete it and you'll have to return. No, it will reach completion. And some will shave the hair of their heads and some will trim the hair of their heads. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُ, Allah Ta'ala had knowledge of that about which you were unaware. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Sahaba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew the wisdom in delaying the Umrah for 1 year. When you are returning back to Madinatul Munawwara after establishing the treaty and you are not able to perform Umrah, at that time, you did not understand the wisdom as to why are we not performing Umrah? Why are we returning without performing Umrah? Why is it that despite being prepared to fight the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrama, we are willing to give our lives, we will fight them, we will defeat them and then perform Umrah and then return? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I knew what you did not know. One thing which Allah ta'ala knew was that if Umrah takes place this year, then first of all, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in will have to engage in a battle with the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrama. And when they will engage in this battle, then there is a possibility that many of them will lose their lives. There is a possibility many of them will be wounded. Likewise, on that side, you have Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu with 11 companions. It's possible their 12 lives will also be at risk. And number three, on that side, there were the Muslims who had remained behind in Makkatul Mukarrama due to a valid reason. They were unable to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, if they were to lift their swords, the Muslims, not knowing that these are Muslims, will attack them and will end up martyring them. And if they don't fight, then it's possible that their lives will be at stake and the non-Muslims will kill them. And likewise, if the Treaty of Hudaybiyah did not take place, then the subsequent conquest of Khaybar, which you enjoyed, and likewise the conquest of Wadi al-Qura, and all the booty that you received, the spoils of war that you received, this you would not have gained. And likewise, within these 2 years, the amount of individuals who embraced Islam, they would not have embraced Islam. Because of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, in these 2 years, the Makkans were now coming to Madinatul Munawwara. When they came to Madinatul Munawwara, they got to see the Muslims at first hand, that this is how the Muslims behave, this is their character, this is how they deal with people. So in the first 19 years of prophethood, a very small number of people had embraced Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is heading for Umrah on the occasion of Treaty of Hudaybiyah, there's approximately only 1400 people with him. But in just 2 years, when they now head to Makkatul Mukarrama for the liberation of Makkatul Mukarrama, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves with 10,000 sahaba. So 2 years ago, there's only 1400 and now there's 10,000. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُ. Allah Ta'ala knew that which you did not know. All of these reasons. And these are all the benefits that Allah Ta'ala made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delay the Umrah for 1 year, but in this 1 year delay, look at all the benefits which the Muslims achieved. So, فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُ فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah Ta'ala has decreed a near victory even before this. So even before this, meaning that even before you will go next year and perform your Umrah, Allah Ta'ala has decreed another victory. And what is that victory? So there is two opinions. One opinion is that it refers to the conquest of Khaybar. The Muslims, after returning from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, 2 months later, they went to Khaybar and they liberated and conquered Khaybar. And as a result of conquering Khaybar, they gained a great amount of strength financially. Financially, they became very strong. So this is one meaning. And the second meaning is that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah itself, Allah Ta'ala is saying, فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. That we granted you this conquest, that the Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was a conquest in itself. Because it's the conquest of Hudaybiyah, it's the Treaty of Hudaybiyah which paved the way to all the other conquests later on. If the Treaty of Hudaybiyah did not take place, You would not have conquered Khaybar. You would not have conquered Wadi al-Qura. And thereafter, you would not have conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. So both of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here in فَجَعَلَ بِنْ دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. It is He, Allah, who has sent His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and with the true deen to make it dominate over all religions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a witness. During the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the actual treaty was established, and Suhail bin Amr, who at the time was not a Muslim, he was sent from the side of the Meccans. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dictating the treaty. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was chosen to write. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dictated to Ali radiallahu anhu that write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So upon this, Suhail bin Amr said that we do not believe in Rahman and Rahim. So in our days of ignorance, we used to write Bismikallahumma, in your name, O Allah. So they believed in Allah. But after Allah, all these attributive names which we have learned through the Quran and Hadith, they did not accept that to be the names of Allah Ta'ala. So they said, you can't write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You have to write Bismikallahumma. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under divine command that as long as they do not say anything which goes against the Sharia, we will compromise and accept whatever request they put forward. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali radiallahu anhu that fine, don't write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, write Bismikallahumma. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dictated to Ali radiallahu anhu that write, هَذَا مَا قَضَى عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That this is a treaty between Muhammad, the Rasul of Allah, and Suhail bin Amr. So again, Suhail bin Amr said that we do not believe you to be the Rasul of Allah. So how can you write Rasulullah? If we believed that you are the Rasul of Allah, then we would not be going through all of this. You would be in Makkah al-Mukarramah and performing Umrah. So you cannot write Rasulullah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine. Don't write Rasulullah. Write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Because I am Muhammad Rasulullah also, and I am Muhammad the son of Abdullah also. And on that occasion, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I cannot cross out Rasulullah. How can I cross out Rasulullah? This is something for me, it would be a means of great disrespect. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, show me where have you written Rasulullah? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ummi, he could not read or write. This was one of his miracles that despite being unlettered, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam produced the greatest students the world has ever seen. So, Muhammad Rasulullah. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself then removed Rasulullah, he erased it, and after erasing it, according to one opinion, he then told Ali radiallahu anhu that now write Ibn Abdillah, and according to a second opinion, Allah Ta'ala miraculously on that occasion gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ability to write, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself wrote Ibn Abdillah. So they were not willing to accept that you can write Muhammad Rasulullah. You have to write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this next ayah is saying that whether you believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the Prophet of Allah or not, it doesn't matter. Because who is saying that he is the Rasul of Allah? هُوَ الَّذِي It is He. And it is He who? Who is it is He? That being who in the previous verse has said that He will most definitely make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba enter into Al-Masjidul Haram. Ameen, very peacefully. Some will trim their hair, some will shave their hair. This being who is so powerful that He can make this group of Muslims go to Makkatul Mukarrama and perform Umrah, despite all the odds. That extremely powerful being is saying that this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Rasulullah. So when he is saying he is Rasulullah, whether you want to believe or you don't want to believe, whether you let him write it or you don't let him write it, it makes no difference because Allah Ta'ala has already mentioned it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Huwalladhi. It is He, it is Allah who has sent His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did He send Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with? Bil huda. Number one, al huda. Guidance. Over here, al huda, guidance, refers to the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran. Wadeen al haqqi, and with the true religion. The commands, which is the religion of Islam, the Sharia. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran and with the Sharia? لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to make this religion dominate over all religions. To make it dominate over all religions. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a witness. So whether you are willing to accept the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger or not, and whether you are willing to accept Islam or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sufficient witness that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah and Islam is the true religion. Now over here, there is one question. That Allah ta'ala here is saying that the reason why He sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that Islam may prevail. It may dominate over all other religions. And when it prevails and when it dominates over all other religions, then it will overpower and rule over the entire world. Islam and the Muslims will rule over the entire world. They will dominate the whole world. Whereas, we do not see this. We do not see that the Muslims and Islam are ruling over the entire world. So this has two meanings to it. There are two answers. The first answer is that in this ayah where Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that Islam will prevail and the Muslims will dominate, this means that Islam will prevail with evidence and proofs. It will prevail with evidence and proofs. Meaning that until the day of Qiyamah, whenever somebody tries to object with regards to the religion of Islam or any aspect of the religion of Islam, there will always be somebody in the world who will be able to silence this critic. This will never happen that somebody raises an objection regarding Islam and in the world there will be nobody who will be able to answer this person. There will always be proof and there will always be evidence which will be sufficient to substantiate any claim regarding Islam or the Quran. And this we see till today and we will see until the day of Qiyamah. That wherever there has been a debate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, the Muslim has always had an answer. If he himself at that time does not have the answer, then he will be able to go back, do his research, or go to somebody and somebody will have the answer. But it's never happened that the entire world, every Muslim says that we cannot answer this. This objection cannot be answered. This will never happen. So لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ, Allah Ta'ala will make the religion of Islam prevail over all other religions, means that until the day of Qiyamah, with proof and evidence, Islam will always prevail. This is one meaning. And thereafter, the second meaning, that Islam will prevail, meaning that we will become rulers. The Muslims will be the leaders. Politically, Islam will prevail. So this will happen when the Muslims as a whole are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This happened during the time of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and thereafter for approximately 50 years, when the Muslims were practicing upon the religion of Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the Muslims the glory days when not only was Islam prevailing through proofs and evidence, it was also prevailing in this manner that the Muslims were ruling over the world. And for this, there is this condition that you have to, after bringing Iman, also obey Allah Ta'ala. So for the first prevailing, that you the Islam will prevail with evidence and proofs, there is no condition for this. Whether the Muslims obey Allah or they disobey Allah, whether they practice upon Islam or they don't practice upon Islam, with proof and evidence, Islam will always prevail. But when it comes to becoming leaders, if we want that the Muslims begin to rule over the world, then there is a condition, and the condition is that we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that Allah ta'ala has promised those from amongst you who bring iman and thereafter they do good deeds, meaning they live their life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah ta'ala will most definitely make them leaders on this earth, كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, just as He made those leaders before them. So just as during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Islam spread and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's leadership is known, Uthman radiallahu anhu's leadership is known, Ali radiallahu anhu's leadership is known. So likewise, this will happen when the Muslims begin to practice upon the religion of Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prophesied that before Qiyamah, during the time of Imam Mahdi and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, once again the Muslims at large, they will all be practicing upon Islam. So once again, the Muslims will be ruling. So لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ, Allah Ta'ala has sent Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so that this religion of Islam may prevail over all other religions. Now, a couple of points to conclude with. Allah Ta'ala here mentions that you will most definitely enter Al-Masjid Al-Haram Aminina, with safety, and La Takhafun, without any fear. Aminina, you will enter with safety, and la takhafun, without any fear. So when Allah Ta'ala has already mentioned Aminin, that you will enter with safety, you will enter peacefully, why is there a need to add without any fear? Because when a person enters peacefully with safety, then this already means that he is going to enter without any fear. So it seems as though there was no need for la takhafun. So there are three answers to this. The first answer is that Allah Ta'ala has brought La Takhafun for emphasis. To emphasize this point, that when you will enter Al-Masjid Al-Haram to perform Umrah, you will enter peacefully, safely, and there will be no fear whatsoever. So Allah Ta'ala brings something else to emphasize this point. A second group of commentators say that the word Aminin is connected to when you will enter Al-Masjid Al-Haram. So when you will enter Al-Masjid Al-Haram, you will enter Aminin, you will enter peacefully, you will enter with safety. And La Takhafun, this is now after you enter, that after you have entered, you will perform Tawaf without any fear, you will perform Sa'i without any fear, and you will return back to Madinatul Munawwara without any fear. And a third group of commentators say that Aminin is connected to this entire journey. So you will enter Al-Masjid Al-Haram peacefully, you will perform Tawaf peacefully, you will perform Sa'i peacefully, and thereafter La Takhafun, that without any fear, in here there is a glad tiding, that after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, whatever fear you experienced, this is the last fear you are going to experience in your life. Now, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, until you leave this world, Allah Ta'ala is going to make it such that you will never experience fear in your life again. This is a third meaning of La Takhafun. And in there is a great lesson for us. The lesson for us is that when the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, despite of these extremely difficult circumstances, when they still obeyed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala gave them this glad tiding that from now till the day you die, I will make your hearts fear-proof and nothing will be able to instill fear into your hearts. If you and I also were to make this intention that from today, we will obey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala at every given moment, whatever that command may be, no matter how difficult that command may be, we will obey Allah. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala can make my heart fear-proof also and your heart fear-proof also. So to gain such a life in which you do not experience any fear, the key is that you obey Allah Ta'ala. And this we can establish from another place where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, indeed those who say our Rabb is Allah. So they bring iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they remain steadfast upon iman. They remain steadfast on deen. They practice upon the deen. Then, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, for such people there will be no fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they will never grieve. And إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. In another place, Allah Ta'ala says, angels descend from the heavens upon such people. And what do these angels say? أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, do not fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and do not grieve. According to the commentators of the Quran, one meaning of this is that this happens at the time of death. That at the time of death, that person who had iman and thereafter he practiced upon deen, the angels at the time of death will say to him that do not fear and do not grieve. But it's not only at the time of death. Even during a person's life, angels descend and they say to you, do not fear and do not grieve. The difference is that at the time of death, you will be able to see the angels, and during your lifetime, you do not see these angels. But a sign is that this does happen, is that during your lifetimes, you will find certain incidents where you become fearful, or something happens due to which you should be fearful. Something happens in your life due to which you should experience grief. But you see that after a few moments, that fear goes away, that grief goes away. That you don't even understand that how did this fear go away so quickly? How did this grief go away so quickly? This is Allah Takhafu wa la tahzanu. That the angels have descended and they have said, do not fear, do not grieve. And Allah Ta'ala has taken that fear and grief away from you. And why did that happen? Because Rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. You had iman and after iman you are practicing upon the deen. So this is a great lesson that we learn from here. And then the final point is that in this ayah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned, لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ, that you will most definitely enter al-Masjid al-Haram if Allah wills. Now, if I am going to say something, I have to say inshaAllah. When you say something, you will have to say inshaAllah. But here Allah Ta'ala is saying inshaAllah. Why does Allah Ta'ala need to say inshaAllah? Allah Ta'ala already knows what is going to happen in the future. So there are two points which the commentators of the Quran have mentioned. One is that this is ta'aleem lil ummah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala here is teaching you and I that whenever you want to say something with regards to the future, then you should say insha'Allah. When I am Rabbul Alameen and I am saying insha'Allah, even though there is no need for me to say insha'Allah, I am teaching you that you should always say insha'Allah. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Kahf that وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, that never ever say regarding any matter that إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا, that I am going to do this tomorrow, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, except that first you say إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You say, Insha'Allah, I am going to do this tomorrow. Insha'Allah, I am going to do this next week. Why? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because Allah Ta'ala says that you cannot intend to do anything unless it is so willed by Allah Ta'ala. So it's possible that you think to yourself that for me to walk from here to home is a given. I do it all the time. And you may say to somebody that I'm going home after Maghrib. What's the need to say inshallah? No, no. If Allah Ta'ala doesn't will, you will not be able to even take one step. So never think to yourself that this is something I will definitely do. No. Whenever you are going to say something regarding the future, you should always say, Insha'Allah, I will do this. So this is one reason why Allah Ta'ala mentions Insha'Allah here, to teach you and I that we should always say Insha'Allah regarding anything we intend to do in the future. And a second group of commentators have mentioned a second point here, which is that when the disbelievers, they prevented the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in from entering Makkatul Mukarrama and performing Umrah, then pride entered their hearts. And they began to make these remarks that we prevented the Muslims from entering Makkah. We prevented the Muslims from performing Umrah. So this was a claim which they were making. This was their pride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that next year the Muslims are going to perform Umrah. So it's very possible that next year when the Muslims perform Umrah, then they may start saying the same things also that we performed Umrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching both groups that, oh disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, it wasn't that you prevented the Muslims from performing Umrah. Insha'Allah, if Allah wills, whatever happens in the world only happens when Allah wills. So you did not prevent them. It is Allah Ta'ala who prevented them. And oh Muslims, next year when you perform your Umrah, you don't become a victim of this. And you don't begin to say that we perform Umrah. No, you won't perform Umrah. It's Allah who will make you perform Umrah. So in there is a lesson for us. That ana urid wa anta turid, wallahu yaf'alu ma yurid. Somebody in Arabic says that I intend to do something and you intend to do something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that which He intends. So only that can happen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So whenever in our lifetime we do anything good, we should never let this thought cross our mind that I did it. It's because of my effort. Is because of my know-how, because of my intelligence. No, you should always think to yourself that it's Allah who has made this happen. So when you will think like this, then pride will not even come close to you. You will be saved from pride. Otherwise, it's very easy to become proud. So one of the ways to save yourself from pride is that you tell yourself that I am nothing, I do nothing. Whatever achievements I have in my life is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything. And likewise, if things are going wrong in life, then again, there's no need to become despondent. You tell yourself that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will is. This is what Allah ta'ala's wish is. And whatever Allah ta'ala wills, whatever Allah ta'ala wishes, is what happens. So these are some lessons that we learn from these two verses of Surah Al-Fath. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to practice upon whatever we have learnt. May Allah Ta'ala grant us an attachment and love with the glorious Quran. And may He grant us the ability to understand the Quran correctly. And more importantly, practice upon the messages which are derived from the Quran. May Allah Ta'ala accept these lessons and grant us the ability to continue learning and continue practicing upon whatever we learn until we breathe our last. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الله أكبر الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر سبحان الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل؟ وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.